Hi, and welcome to another edition of Talk Hockey Radio. I have with me Simon and Fraser again, as usual. You did a podcast without me last time, boys, but thank you. I mean, thanks for joining me this time around.
Simon, please call your job. You do the intros.
Do you know what? You could do the intros. Actually, you know what? It was a really good intro. Do you want to do the intro instead? No, all right. Simon was taking his head then.
I'm too tired. It's past my bedtime.
What's that? Sorry?
It's past my bedtime. I'm knackered.
You're doing all right, though?
I'm very sore. I played up front yesterday, and then I umpired a game, and then I did junior park run today, so I am completely shattered.
Oh, no. You do it to yourself, though, don't you, Si?
I do. I'm too keen.
Yeah, very. What about you, Fraser? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm not as exhausted as Simon. Get up and chase children around a park.
I feel tired today as well, but you know, just must be me getting over a cold or whatever. We've got a good few talking points. Hopefully it won't be a long podcast, even though you said it wasn't going to be a long podcast last time, and it was pretty much about an hour anyway. But you know, but all I've got to say, boys, is I told you so, right? And that's that. I'm going to leave it at that. All right,
don't know what you're referencing, Taff.
All my hockey fives being the best thing ever.
I'm
still wrong.
That bit that we keep cutting out. I see.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so come on then, let's go with it. Si, what we're going to be talking about? Let's hit it with something.
So we're going to start off with the Super Sixes with Fraser's review, as neither of the rest of us were there. Then we're going to cover the BBC coverage of the Olympics qualifiers. Then a restart of the Outdoor National League. Then we might laugh about the fact that the Indian women haven't qualified for the Olympics despite all the advantages they've given for 10 minutes. Then we're going to talk about hockey fives for as long as it deserves to be talked about. And then we're going to chat about Lida Leigh Velten as well.
Okay, sounds like a fun-filled, fact-filled podcast. So, Fraser, over to you. I didn't get to see it because I wasn't actually at the Super Sixes this year.
Still locked in the basement.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I was doing a junior tournament, and unfortunately. So there you go. So go on then. Let us know what you thought of the venue as well, because it's a different venue, isn't it?
So it's moved from the Copper Box in London up to the Derby Arena. Much more convenient for myself, as it's not a 3-hour drive, which is a big plus.
Yeah.
In terms of getting there, really straightforward to get there. There was on-site parking, which was reasonable. I think it was £5 for the day, and I'm pretty sure it's £5 per hour to park in London.
Usually.
But there was good food available in the venue. There was a big England hockey shop where they launched the new kit. That was the first place you can buy it. So I got to get hands on and have a rub of the material. It felt quite nice in hand. Didn't end up buying one, but might go back and buy like a goalkeeping shirt because it's got the most interesting pattern on it out of all of them. They had a dress up as a goalkeeper stall where you had to get all the kit on as quickly as possible, which I thought was quite an interesting thing to put on. There was a little pitch behind one of the stands so kids can go and play like rush hockey again.
Yeah.
Quite an interesting thing. The actual hockey that was on was really good. Won by East Grinstead women's and Old Georgians men's, but a really good day. Bit of a odd half-time entertainment during the semi-finals in that they had a cycling event going on in the velodrome. So the people who were in the rafter seats seemed a really long way away because they were behind the velodrome track.
Right.
So I don't know what the view was like from up there, because for once I actually bought the tickets in advance rather than at, you know, 5 a.m. on the day of the tournament. So we were sat down behind one of the goals, quite close to the entranceway.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting because we could see all the teams like warming up just off to the side.
All right.
Yeah.
So, well, what do you think of the venue itself then? Do you think it might have seemed that you were a bit further away from the pitch, is that right, or not? Or do you think it probably was about the similar?
So I really don't know what the view was like from the other side of the velodrome track.
Right.
I know someone who sat up there and he said the view was actually pretty good.
Right.
But I don't know how it compares. To me, it felt like they were sat much further away than you would be at the Copper Box if you were sat in the upper tier.
Right.
But if the view is comparable, I think it was quite a good venue. Just for the fact that you could actually drive there, made it much more accessible. You don't have to find nearby parking. Missed out on the Copper Box. If you go out of the Copper Box, there's a really nice little food place not far from there, which I think is where most people go because the food in the Copper Box was always pretty poor.
Yeah.
But the food was quite good this time. So
was it a good variation or?
Yeah. There was like breakfast options when we first got there. So you could get like a breakfast sandwich. There was loads of like pre-made sandwiches and stuff like that. And then they had different menu on from about 10:30, 11 o'clock. So after the first game had been played, they moved on to like a lunch menu. So you could get two different meals, which you couldn't get at the Copper Box.
Yeah. So overall, your thoughts on like out of 10, what would you give it? I mean, let me put it this way. Out of 10, what would you give the Copper Box?
The Copper Box, I would probably give a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Just because I think the location is, I mean, it's a nice venue, but you have to park, you have to find parking somewhere else, which is a bit of a hassle because you usually end up in the Westfield Centre.
Yeah.
And it's about £10 to £12 to park for the day.
Yeah.
Or it was the last time I was there. Compared to having parking on site, which they could charge at £5.
Okay.
You could pay in advance. If you paid in advance this year, you basically drove to the front of the queue. I think there's about 20 cars waiting to pay. And because we'd prepaid, we just drove straight in.
Right.
Which was nice and convenient for us. We ended up parked like second row back from the actual venue.
Nice.
What
would you give the
Derby? The food on site for the Copper Box is always a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go out and there's food places nearby, but I mean, there was some food places not far from the Derby Arena, but because there was decent food inside, you didn't have to go out.
Yeah.
So I'd say for the Derby Arena, I'd probably give it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Just because it seemed stronger where the Copper Box is weak.
Yeah.
The only caveat would be, I don't know what the view was like from the rafters, nor from the VIP box, because I didn't pay for VIP tickets. as tempting as it was.
So overall, the Derby Arena probably was a better venue in terms of everything, you know, the whole package sort of thing.
Yeah. In terms of the all-round thing, I think it was better.
Right.
I think potentially the view from the rafters might be slightly better in the Copper Box.
Yeah.
But I think the like pitch side seating was around the same sort of numbers. Okay. So
cool. Have you got any questions, Si, for him?
No, I mean, I did catch literally the last few minutes of the men's final. But I just thought it was worth saying well done to Lee Barron, who retired from indoor umpiring at this event. Lee has umpired World Cups and European finals. He's definitely one of the best indoor umpires we've produced, and also an extremely good outdoor umpire. I've had the privilege of seeing him umpire both outdoor and indoor a number of times, and he's just got such a good manner with the players. He comes across as so calm, collected, and also vitally quite human. And I think it was a testament to the respect that he's held in by the players that so many of them gave him a hug after the match. A lot of them knew this is his last ever indoor game. He's now moving into umpire management for major international tournaments for indoor, and he'll continue to be a massive asset to the umpiring community, both here in England for the NPOA and further afield for Euros and World Cups, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has been a bit of a fixture, hasn't he? Since we started the, the whole broadcasting and things like that at the Copper Box and other venues prior to that. So it's gonna be a big loss, I reckon. But hopefully we might have some other people coming through. But like you said, really nice guy. Always got time for you when if you've got questions for him or whatever, you know. So definitely gonna be a big loss for indoor hockey, that.
Yeah. One of the good things about the indoor was that they did broadcast it on YouTube, and that is a nice little way of us segueing into the BBC coverage. So, the BBC released their figures, and Nick Pink, the England Hockey CEO, wrote an open letter to the hockey playing public to celebrate the fact that the viewing figures were above what was required, which is almost single-handedly down to Taft's rallying call. and as a consequence, there should be future coverage of hockey on the BBC. That's despite how hard it was to find. It was difficult. Even people who knew where to look, it wasn't always there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that shows that when the coverage is provided, people will use it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a big push by all the eight regions of England anyway, in terms of publicising it. I know I did at Northwest Hockey anyway, making sure that we basically let people know that it was on an hour before it was on, so that they could actually prepare and watch it. So it's a big effort from everyone, to be honest with you. I mean, I think even you, Fraser, with Boss F Hockey, did a couple of, or if not all of them, you know, just promoted it, saying, let's watch it. And that's good. I mean, obviously, you got a massive following as well. So it was pretty good in terms of the publicity that everyone did, you know, resharing, things like that. And obviously it worked, and we got some really good viewing figures. I'm quite excited to see whether we're going to get more hockey on BBC as well, really. You know, like you were saying in terms of Belgium, you know, if the national team was playing, they should broadcast it regardless.
It's a requirement. It has to, national teams are playing, it have to be broadcast available to watch online or on TV.
I mean, you're like, the BBC should do that, to be honest with you, because it's our national.
Yeah, if there's a feed available, it should be obligatory to show it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
On either BBC or ITV or Channel 4, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Channel 5, because no one watches that, apart from making it available.
Yeah, BBC or ITV would be fine. I mean, you know, if the BBC are prepared to do it now on a regular basis, let's see whether we can get all the national ones on, but I doubt we will anyway. But
yeah. Well, hopefully that new coverage will extend to the national finals. So England Hockey announced that Surbiton will again be hosting the National Premier League playoff finals. I happened to be at Surbiton the night before, so I overheard some of the conversations about what they're doing. They're really pushing forward with the live streaming stuff. So they've got three separate cameras set up permanently. They're going to have commentators for all their home matches, hopefully. And I saw some of the quality of the footage that was available, mostly so that Will could tell me what I got wrong when I was umpiring. it looks really good. We're now entering phase two, section three, part A2 of National League. So the Prem is now going into the weird phase where some people have played against each other at least once or something like that, and now they're going to play against each other maybe twice. It's hard to know what's going on.
Like,
essentially, it's getting to the top four to reach the playoff finals. If you're in the top half of the table, trying to avoid getting relegated in the bottom half. Are you guys pumped and excited for the restart?
Kind of.
It's very convincing.
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. I don't, Fraser, I'm going to have to think about this a little bit more. But what do you think?
What's a delicate way of saying no?
That is the most political answer Taff has ever given to avoid saying, no, I'm not that bothered. From my point of view, I think the second half of the season, now that they're doing this split of the league, is probably more exciting than the first, especially with the start of the season that we've had, where the top six basically battered the bottom six every week. Is it Surbiton and Georgians have basically won all of their games.
Yeah.
Holcombe have only lost one game because they've played either Old Georgians or Surbiton. And some of the score lines were like 9 and 10 nil.
See, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about a couple of weeks ago, weren't we?
It definitely wasn't a couple of weeks ago. Sorry,
a couple of months ago, in terms of like what the National League was like. And it was just ridiculous with the amount of goals that were coming out, especially with from the top end of the table to the bottom end of the table, really.
Yeah, it's the lack of credibility that's the reason us three don't bother playing in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I get calls every single week asking me to come down and play, but you know.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's good to have the split on that basis. It'd be nice just to have a stronger league, of course. I'm in two minds. I'm umpiring at Hampson Westminster on Saturday, and then both the women's and the men's first teams are playing in the evening. I'm really torn about whether or not I can hack sticking around for a few hours. They will be good games to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I can hack being down there for, I think it's probably going to be around 7 or 8 hours. But no, it should be good. Anything else to add before we move on?
No, I just think, I mean, like we were saying, I think, you know, well, Fraser thinks it's going to be more exciting this second half, but I reckon, you know, it's going to be pretty much what's happened in the first half of the season. The top end of the table is going to be bashing the bottom end of the table, really.
The table's now split in two.
It's still going to happen. So
the top end.
The top six four in the top half will beat the bottom two comfortably. They'll be tight. And the next it'll be the bottom two get spanked by everyone.
Yeah.
And then, so.
Yeah.
But when the top four play each other, there'll be close games and they'll be more interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens anyway. But
indeed.
Let's go.
So our next thing was just to laugh at India women for not qualifying after being given so many advantages, but we're not really going to do that. It's just a point about they've got the best coach, best players, best goalkeeper, the best team hosting the tournament, and they still didn't qualify. It's not their fault, but they've been given such preferential treatment. But yeah, it was hard not to comment.
We were saying that, you know, they should get through, really. Because of, how they've been developing and whatever, but obviously, did I agree with that? I don't think I did agree with that one. I thought they probably wouldn't get through because of which ones the teams that I picked.
You don't even remember who you picked, Taff.
Don't try
and make out you knew what you were on about.
No, I did say that. I
muted the mic, turned around, and asked your kids, "Which do you think? Where do you ever go on holiday? New Zealand, USA, India?" Chile.
So, you know, like, what from what you're saying, and with regards to the having the best of whatever, it was surprising that they didn't actually do better than what we all collectively thought they would do, really. But I mean, it's something I think they should work on, and I'm sure they will. Let's see what happens.
I think it's a shame they're not going to be there because they did well at the last Olympics, and it would be nice to see that continue. It was nice, very briefly, to see Indian population consider women's hockey as something that could potentially be a priority at some point.
Yeah,
I worry that it might go back to being of no interest again whatsoever, which would be a shame because they do have some really good players. They do play some really good hockey sometimes. It's just obviously there's a lot of hockey viewing world are a bit fed up at some of the favouritism that's been shown, but
do you think that maybe somebody will pull out the Olympics for whatever reason for cost and stuff like that? They just can't do it or whatever, and then maybe the Indian women get in there anyway.
No, I think so many governing bodies, their funding comes from Olympic performance. I think they will always find the money to go to the Olympics. It's not like the Pro League or Pro League B or Pro League C, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So South Africa have pulled out before, having qualified.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, you'd think that it would probably go to whoever finished second, but who knows?
Yeah. No, that was my thinking because of that happening before.
I would hope.
Hopefully not. But
it should go to whoever was second from that continent in that situation. Yeah, I mean, I do think that there are probably some teams who are missing out on the Olympics who should be there. I'd put India and Ireland in there for the women's. But the draw of who played where meant that one tournament was substantially stronger than the other.
Yeah.
Another interesting development that's just come out is the Malaysians disbanding. So at the end of each Olympic cycle, if they don't qualify, they disband the team and then start afresh, which possibly is why they don't qualify.
Yeah,
they do 4 years and then they break up and rehash everything and start again. Whereas maybe if they had an 8 year cycle,
yeah,
they might manage to do something. I found that quite interesting. I didn't know they did that disbandment. I knew that they'd had massive change in the past, but I didn't realize it was actually deliberate. I just assumed that it was sort of natural turnover.
Yeah, people just didn't want to play again or whatever because of.
Yeah, but by design.
That sounds a bit ridiculous. No, not ridiculous. It sounds a bit strange that they do that. Like you're saying, you know, if they disband every four years and then restart, and those players that were a part of it before try to get in again, and they don't because, oh, you lost it for us last time, so you're not going to get a chance, which is, I find, not really, you know, not really good, to be honest with you, because it might just be the personnel. It might, you know, two or three of them might be the best players that they've ever got, and they just don't get a chance to actually be a part of the team again because they didn't qualify last time. Yeah, it's a bit strange that, but let's see what happens.
Anything else on India or Malaysia? No. So the hockey fires happened, but more importantly, Lidové Velten has retired from international hockey, or not necessarily retired, but been told she's retiring. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
She's been told she's retiring. She doesn't actually want to retire, so that is not good, right? Because I still think she's probably one of the better players in the world, right? Still, even now.
She'll walk into most countries' teams, yes.
Yeah. So just off that, right, the governing body or the coaches or whoever's decided that she needs to retire, I think they're making a mistake, personally. I think she's got more to give. Maybe we should have her on, you know, give her a British passport and sort of like get her playing for us.
I'd have to wait 7 years, I think. So, I mean, to be fair, when she's in her early 40s, she's probably still be good enough.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous that, you know, players are forced to do that and it's not their choice. Surely, if she's good enough, even now, and still training with the squad and whatever, and she's still one of the better players, why ask her to retire? Why do that? I don't understand that.
Do you want to chip in, Fraser, or shall I?
So, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit.
You always do.
So, you're saying players should get the choice of when they retire. If the coach doesn't think that they're a good enough player, it's always going to be a case of they're told to retire rather than they get to choose. In a perfect world, yeah, it would be great if she did get to choose, but it's up to the coach whether or not they think that they are A, good enough, and B, will be able to maintain their performance. So she's had a couple of injuries. That's probably going to weigh into it as well, as to whether or not they think she can match the squad performance going into it.
But that would also depend on the stats that she's got, right? Okay. Now, if the stats that she's got already don't match up to any of the other members of the squad, then yeah, I agree with that.
Which is basically what the coach said. So, again, to go against playing devil's advocate, number one, the way it was handled was atrocious.
Yeah.
In that the coach's statement saying basically she's not good enough to get back in was released. And I know that the Dutch are known for being a little bit blunt with stuff like this, but that came out and then got such a negative reaction, it got taken down, and then she put up a message saying that she was retiring from international hockey. I think if she'd have just put up that she was retiring from international hockey, there would have been a big discussion about it anyway, about whether or not she still had more to give, if she could have made it through this Olympic cycle and then retired afterwards, whether she was being forced out or whatever. The fact that the coach's statement came out and was so blunt and was just, yeah, she's not good enough, she's not getting back in, was just awful.
Yeah.
So my point of view is, obviously, I'm a massive fan of the coach. I think he's a top lad. I can certainly see the point that they have a number of young players who are doing brilliantly well. I mean, everyone knows Belgians, the Dutch, have not been as good as they were in terms of the style of hockey and all that, and yet they've been steamrolling everybody. So when they can give those players who are still in their mid-20s or early 20s the pitch time and let them develop as a squad, then God knows what they're going to be in 5-10 years time. So I can understand it from that point of view. I can also see she's had a number of injuries since she left Den Bosch and went to Campong, she's not been competing at the top end of the league anymore, which is obviously a bit of a shame. However, the fact remains, a lot of players still rate her hugely. And I just think it's, when you've got someone like her available, you'd want to have the option of potentially picking her. To outright say, I am not picking you now,
yeah,
it seems a really counterintuitive thing. What if there's a series of injuries sustained, he's going to have to go back groveling?
I do think this is a very different conversation if we were having this, you know, 2-3 weeks out from the Olympics, and he'd gone, she's not made it, she's not made the cut, this is the squad we're going with. Making that call this early, I also think, is a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I think that was probably my sort of like thinking behind what I was saying before. It's just a shame that it's gone the way it did go. Like you were saying, Fraser, in terms of like the coach sort of like saying it first and then taking it down, and then, you know, Welton doing it as well.
I think away from the decision, it's still worth saying, you know, she is comfortably one of the best players that any of us have ever seen play hockey. She is a terrifying ball carrier. Yeah. She can just beat everyone. She is built like a fucking shit house. She is enormously tall. She's stacked. She can shoot. She can cross. She can do everything. And on top of that, she was a really, really, really lovely person. Anytime we interviewed her, anytime you spoke to her at a bar, really, really nice lady. And I think it's a shame she's perhaps not been given the respect she deserved by a guy who is pretty well known for being a complete thunder cunt. So there we go.
Enjoy the edit, future Taff.
I know where it's come, where it's happened, so I might be able to do that. It's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, you know what? If she's not playing international hockey, maybe she could take up some coaching, something or whatever. But like, you know, who knows? Who knows?
We'll find her a place in the Cambridge City Women's Threes.
Yeah.
For us for a season. Try getting Belton and Astra to join us a little while ago, because her best mate plays for our ones. So we'll try Belton next.
Yeah, yeah.
And we shotgun Maddie Hinch to play for us, but she turned us down. She doesn't have the shotgun rule properly. So moving on, we got two other bits to cover, which we didn't mention earlier. So one is just the sad news of Tex, otherwise known as David Lane, passing away. So Tex was one of the founding members of the NPUA, the National League Umpires in England, also really heavily involved in progressing junior development of umpires, three of the four English umpires heading to the Olympics this year are a product of the system he was involved in setting up. He also was a popular figure in terms of umpire management, umpire support, both in England and further afield in Europe and internationally in general. He was very well loved. Almost every match that I've played the last few months, or umpired the last few months, people asked after him if anyone had any update on how he was doing. So, sad to have lost him, but also lovely to have all those memories and kind words that have been flooding across social media in the last few days.
So, to be honest with you, I don't think I might have met him, but I don't recall meeting him really. But, you know, it is obviously a sad loss.
Yeah. On a brighter note, though, we do have the return of Ross Bone's Top of the D. He did a little preview podcast ahead of the Olympic qualifiers, and he has subsequently released a post-Olympic qualifier podcast and an indoor finals podcast. So our status as the second best podcast coming out of England about hockey might now be lost, and we might be down to third.
Sorry about that, Ross. Look, I love him. He's brilliant. He's very knowledgeable. Has been around for quite some time. Has done other podcasts or a little stints of podcasts over the years and whatever. So hopefully he's going to be doing it quite regularly. Maybe he's got more time on his hand now, and you know, we're unfortunately having to say he's back again. I love it. I mean, I listened to the podcast that he did, and the, you know, as always, very good. Not as good as ours, but you know, it was all right. do you know Ross Fraser?
Know of him. Never met him.
Never met him. Nice guy, honestly. Could meet a nicer guy as well. Pretty much like us, really. We should get him on here.
He's too big time.
He's too big.
Too big time.
Too big time. Do you not think we're big time? Oh,
well, as big time as him. He's like...
We've got another big time guy next to us here. Fraser.
Where?
No, it's good to have him back doing it. He's a great journalist. And, you know, he's a very good writer, very good, generally just top hockey journalist. You know, he's got great interactions with the players, really well respected. So I'm glad to see he's back involved.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, I wish, joking aside, I do wish him the best, and I hope to see more of his podcasts, because I think he's doing like video podcasts as well, like video YouTube stuff and whatever. So that's pretty good. Love the guy. He's really good. I like him. He's got time for people, and I think that's what people like about him as well. You know, any international player, whatever, not just in England, but you know, around the world. And like you're saying, quite well respected, good journalist. Yeah, so definitely good to see him back. You said we had something else as well. No, nothing else. Okay, we got anything else that we want to talk about, boys?
We could reference the fact that the Euro indoors have just finished.
Oh yeah, I didn't get to see them, unfortunately, but yeah.
No, unfortunately, I've not really been able to tune in. I've caught a few highlights. Germany have won it, but I thought it was worth calling out that they put umpires in the crowd for people to go and ask for explanation of rules. I thought that was a really good idea and something that we should implement.
Yeah, I think Keely mentioned that as well. And then I think I found it on your platform, your profile, Fraser, in terms of, and I thought, wow, that's a really good idea, especially for people who don't know much about indoor. I mean, we probably could do it for outdoor as well, really, you know, for new up and coming kids that want to know about umpiring, things like that. And absolutely a brilliant idea. And I think we should adopt it as well in England.
Yeah, whether
indoors or outdoors.
One of the things also that is worth noting is the people they had doing it are all either Premier League or their version of Premier League, so on a division. Umpires or European or international umpires or people who are the umpire support at that level. So it's not like you just got some random level one umpire giving you irrelevant information. You've got the best umpires in the world pretty much on the court, and then people who are exactly the same level as them talking to you, talking you through what they're thinking, what they're seeing, etc. So yeah, really, really good idea. Very impressed.
Do you think the MPUA will adopt that sort of thing? Possibly.
Not up to us.
Oh, isn't it? Well, I mean, it's up to England Hockey, is it? But would that be something that you think the MPUA would buy into? Because I think it would honestly help. I think it would honestly help the game a little bit more, especially for youngsters. If they've got questions about certain aspects of a game, whether it's indoor or outdoor, and they can see these people in whichever colour shirts they're going to be in, saying, ask me a question if you've got a question about umpiring.
Obviously, I can't speak on behalf of the NPUA officially on anything like that, but I'm sure if resources allowed it, I think it's a very good idea, personally.
Yeah, cool.
I think they should go around at the finals day and correct people when they shout the wrong decision from the crowd. And I think it should be filmed and put on social media, just because I think it would be quite funny.
Just have Hannah Harrison walk around, and if someone says short corner, she just slaps them and says no penalty corner.
As Keely will tell you, it's always three penalty strokes, one for each team and one for the umpires.
Oh, brilliant. Anything else? I mean, you know. No, really. I mean, this is going to be a short podcast, boys.
That's probably a good thing.
Wow. You know, it's probably going to be the shortest podcast we've ever done. No, it's not. It's not the shortest podcast we've ever done.
It will be when you edit out all your gloating.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I won't.
Just for the runtime.
I already said it, so I don't really want to say it again. I already said it. But I told you so. That's all I'm going to say again, right?
You told us what?
You know what I told you.
Do you know what you told us, though, Taff?
No.
Exactly.
No, about New Zealand. And you so like, but you boys went, oh no, I don't think it's gonna be happening. And so like, okay, fair enough. You'll see what happens. And you know what? It turned out I was right.
Broken clock is right twice a day, Taff.
And in that case, boys, we've got nothing else to talk about. Oh god, I'm gonna start coughing. Got nothing else to talk about. It's going to be a short podcast. I'll say goodbye from me and goodbye from you guys, I suppose.
Yeah, and fuck Paul Van Ass.
Should I keep that in?
Sure.
Maybe you can bleep that part of it, but yeah.
Okay, I might just bleep it.
Actually, gives a flying fuck what I think.
I'll bleep it. And on that note, boys, goodbye.